You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Thursday, June 3rd, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and on today's episode, we will recap another Orioles victory. I think this might be a streak in the other direction after losing 14 games in a row to end May. The Orioles are 2-0 to start June, and they take the rubber game and take the series from the Minnesota Twins with a 6-3 victory on Wednesday night. So we'll get you the five things you need to know from the Orioles' win at Camden Yards on Wednesday night. Then a Mailbag Thursday episode of the podcast. We have one mailbag question to answer a little bit later. It has to do with three Orioles prospects who are not in the Orioles' top 30 on any lists, but guys that are performing really well so far through about a month here in this 2021 season. And we talk about, you know, whether you should kind of write those guys off because they're not in the top 30 or keep an eye on them because of how well they are playing. And then at the end of the pod, we will do a little bit of a look at how the minors have been going as a whole for the Orioles in 2021 and all the success they've had through the first month of the minor league season, and look forward to a really exciting guest we have on tomorrow's show. So that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me every week to get in on the action and talk about the Orioles over at Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So it is back-to-back W's for the Orioles as they beat the Twins 6-3 on Wednesday night. They take the series 2 out of 3, and they are a perfect 2-0 here in the month of June, heading into today's off day before they host Cleveland at Camden Yards for a 3-game series this weekend. So things went well again for the Orioles in last night's game. I wanted to get you the five things you need to know from the Orioles' 6-3 win over the Twins that got the O's to now 19-37 on the season. First thing you need to know is Tyler Wells had maybe his best day as an Oriole, and at the very least, he picked up his first win as an Oriole. Now, he's had probably one appearance that was better this year. He did strike out 6 in one appearance a couple of weeks ago. But Tyler Wells was really, really good. He came out of the bullpen in the fourth inning in somewhat of a long relief role for the Orioles. And when he did enter the ball game, you know, it was still a close game. It's not like he was in mop-up duty. And in fact, he entered with the Orioles trailing 1-0 in the fourth inning. But he did his job and more for the Orioles. Wells tosses 3 scoreless innings out of the bullpen. He allowed just 1 hit. He did not walk anyone. He got 2 strikeouts, and it took him just 35 pitches to get through those 3 scoreless innings. His ERA quietly down to 4.81 on the season after that ERA was skyrocketed after some tough appearances early for Tyler Wells. But the stuff did look pretty good for Tyler Wells, and the fastball was pretty solid. And, you know, he mixed his pitches fairly well. He threw 35 pitches. Only 13 of them were fastballs, 10 changeups, 10 sliders, and then he tossed in a couple of curveballs as well. And the fastball was pretty good. You know, he got 5 swings, you know, only 2 whiffs on the fastball, 3 whiffs on the changeup, only 5 whiffs altogether on 35 pitches. But he was able to pound the strike zone, and that's not something Tyler Wells has really done so far this season, but a whole lot of strikes from Tyler Wells on the night. And that was really the difference for him, is, you know, the fastball velocity was right around 95. He topped out at 96. He had some good spin on his pitches as well. But he just kind of fooled this Twins lineup. He got a lot of soft contact. I mean, you know, I believe in his last inning, he got 3 up, 3 down with 3 ground outs to shortstop. And that'll do the job. And, you know, he wasn't super dominant again with just the 2 strikeouts and not a whole lot of whiffs, but he was good. And the Orioles will take that. Now, the second thing you need to know has to do with the starting pitcher. The Orioles started Matt Harvey in the game on Wednesday, but with a plan to have him kind of be an opener. You know, he was working on just 3 days of rest. He had started the game on Saturday, in which he had given up 5 runs in 3 innings in Chicago, And the O's, you know, wanted to go with a bullpen game, but basically, you know, threw Matt Harvey out there on short rest because of the off day Thursday and all the off days they have coming up. And thought they could kind of, you know, mix him in there a little bit, and maybe let him go a little more max effort, knowing he wouldn't be pitching as long. And it did work out. You know, Harvey went three innings as, you know, somewhat of the opener, but, you know, instead of some of his recent starts in which he's gone three innings because he's gotten hit around, he went three innings because that was the plan. He allowed just one run on two hits. He struck out three. He walked one. The only run he allowed was on a solo home run in the second inning from Ryan Jeffers. But other than that, you know, he was good. He threw 43 pitches to get through those three innings, and his ERA now down to 6.62 on the season for Matt Harvey. And, you know, the stuff looked pretty solid. You know, his fastball was averaging 95. He was up over 96 when he maxed it out. And, you know, the fastball was good. He mixed his pitches pretty well. You know, he threw about 20 fastballs, which was obviously the most of any pitch, but then 9 sliders, 9 curveballs, 5 changeups. You know, he really mixed everything in on the day. He got 7 whiffs on 43 pitches, a CSW of 33%, which is pretty good. Not as much of a number you look at through only 3 innings, but still pretty solid. And, you know, the stuff looked good for Harvey, and he got some key outs when he needed them. And, you know, it seemed like he was going a little more max effort because he knew he was only going to get, you know, no more than 3 innings on the day. But, you know, it did work out for the Orioles to kind of play it that way with Harvey. Third thing you need to know from the game is that the Orioles got the long ball at the perfect times in last night's ballgame from some bats who really, really needed it. The first one came in the 5th inning. DJ Stewart with a go-ahead 2-run shot off of the starter Randy Dobnak. Just crushed a ball to right field for a 2-run homer that gave the Orioles a 3-1 lead in the 5th. Stewart had a nice day, 2-for-3, had the home run, the 2 RBIs. He walked once, he scored a couple of runs. Really nice day at the plate for DJ Stewart. And then Ryan Mountcastle had a huge swing for insurance runs in the 7th inning. He came on with 2 runners on, and Mountcastle with a huge swing for the Orioles with 2 outs at that time. He hits a 3-run home run to really extend that lead. Took it from a 3-1 game to a 6-1 game in the 7th inning. And Mountcastle had a nice day. You know, 2-for-4 with the run scored, the home run, the 3 RBIs. He did strike out once, but he looked good. You know, he had 3 hard hit balls on the day for the Orioles. And that was a huge 3-run homer for Mountcastle as well, because the Orioles turned around and gave up 2 in the top of the 8th. But because they had that 3-run cushion, you know, they still felt pretty good heading into the 9th inning, even after a little bit of a rough 8th inning for Sean Armstrong. Fourth thing you need to know is that, you know, some other bats who have been struggling really had some key nights last night. Michael Franco, who, you know, really, really struggled in May. He had an awful May. He hit a 2-for-4. And, you know, he had a double and a single. He hit 3 balls hard on the day. He looked really good out of the 7th spot. And then Stevie Wilkerson, who hasn't done much since being called up, he had a 2-for-4 with a double and a single as well out of the 8th spot. And, you know, you look up and down the Oriole lineup, 8 of the 9 starters were able to get on base. The only one who didn't was Austin Wins, who went 0-for-4 out of the 9 spot. You had 7 of the 9 guys get a hit. Freddie Galvis, the only other one who didn't have a hit, but he also walked and scored a run in the ballgame. The Oriole offense, once again, you know, the 2-hit nights from Stewart, Mountcastle, Franco, Wilkerson, and Santander, Mancini, and Mullins each had a hit. Mullins and Mancini walked as well. You know, the Orioles drew 4 walks on the day. And, you know, they only struck out 5 times. That's pretty huge for an Oriole team that had that stretch earlier this year where they were striking out double digits in a lot of games. Only 5 strikeouts, a nice little number. And really good to see, you know, Franco and Wilkerson. And, you know, Stewart through Wilkerson, that was 5. Stewart, Mountcastle, Franco, and Wilkerson, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the lineup. Each of those players had 2 hits in the ballgame. That is going to really help out your offense. And the final thing you need to know from the Orioles' 6-3 win over the Twins from Wednesday night is that we have transitioned into a new Orioles closer, it seems. And it looks like Paul Fry is going to be the Oriole closer for the season. He entered the game last night after Sean Armstrong had gone single, triple, and then strikeout in the 8th inning. And Paul Fry entered the game. The O's were up 6-2. There was a runner on 3rd with 1 out in the 8th. He allowed a sack fly and then gotten out, so it was 6-3 when he left in the 8th and then came back out there In the ninth, he did give up a leadoff single, but worked around it, went an inning and two-thirds scoreless, one hit, two walks, only one strikeout, but he got the job done, got himself the save. Fry's ERA now 2.08 on the season. And we're still seeing Cesar Valdez in somewhat high leverage moments. You know, he's pitching in the seventh and the eighth inning of close games. But looks like the Orioles have made the change to Paul Fry as closer. And I get it. You know, Paul Fry has been the Oriole best reliever this year. And also what we learned from Tuesday night is that Paul Fry, if he isn't available, the Orioles are going to go to their second best reliever, Cole Sulcer, who also has closing experience. But as Brandon Hyde said, you know, Paul Fry is probably the closer for now for the Orioles. And we'll see how that helps his trade value as well, because I think, you know, the first guy to go in a trade this season for the Orioles as we, you know, get closer and closer to the deadline, I think it's going to be Paul Fry. So we'll see how this helps his value if he shows teams that he can get some saves and be a closer as well. But that's how it went for the Orioles. They win it 6-3, and they take the series from the Minnesota Twins leading into the off day today. But on today's episode, also wanted to open the mailbag. And we got one mailbag question that we wanted to answer coming up after the break. It has to do with three of the Orioles prospects who, you know, aren't in the top 30, but are performing pretty well. That's Toby Welk, JD Mundy, and Nick Vespi. And coming up after the break, we talk about, you know, what their prospect status should be. Yes, they're not top guys, but are they still guys that we want to keep an eye on and think about maybe making it to the major leagues with the Orioles one day? That comes up after the break. So we will get to our mailbag question in just a second, but first, got to tell you about rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like a mortgage or food or maybe Orioles tickets. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? You can go to rockauto.com instead. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. And the best part, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why would you spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? So go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. And make sure you write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So we are back here on a Mailbag Thursday episode of the podcast here at Locked On Orioles. And today, just one mailbag question to answer, but it is a good one. Once again, from Kevin B. of Perry Hall, who's been sending us some pretty good questions over the past couple of weeks. We thank you, Kevin, for that. And, you know, we're getting some other questions, but Kevin honestly just keeps hitting the ball out of the park, no pun intended, and giving us good questions for the mailbag. So we're just going to do the one question today and wanted to get to Kevin's. And Kevin said, my question this week is about lesser-known Orioles minor leaguers. Should we be intrigued by hot starts of JD Mundy in Delmarva, Nick Vespi in Bowie, and Toby Welk in Aberdeen, or are these guys just guys that will fizzle out in a few months? And this is a good question and a good topic to talk about because, you know, the Orioles system has been fantastic so far this season. You know, we're right about at the 1 month mark of the minor league season. Actually, tomorrow will mark 1 month since the minor league season started back on May 4th. So we're starting to get a solid little sample of these minor league players and these minor league teams. And we know that, you know, Delmarva, Aberdeen, and Bowie all, you know, leading their leagues. They've been amazing. And Norfolk got off to a rough start, but they've been playing a lot better baseball recently. The Orioles had their first organization sweep on Tuesday. Not only did the big league club snap the 14-game losing streak on Tuesday night, but all of the four minor league affiliates also won. It was their first 5-0 day, I believe, since Mike Elias took over. Or at the very least, it was their first one of 2021. But, you know, these are three interesting guys to talk about. And we will start with JD Mundy because, you know, it's a little spoiler alert. We're actually going to talk about JD Mundy again on tomorrow's episode. We got a special guest on tomorrow's pod that we'll tell you about a little later on this episode. But we'll dig into JD Mundy a little bit tomorrow. But did want to talk about Mundy because it's an interesting case. He was one of the many undrafted free agents that the Orioles signed after the 2020 draft. Remember, last year's MLB draft was only 5 rounds. The draft is usually 40 rounds. They cut it to 5 last year. They've expanded it to 20 rounds for the 2021 draft. We will see if that's where it sits going forward. But Mundy is a guy who definitely would have been drafted in a 40-round draft. Most likely, yeah, he probably would have been drafted in a 20-round draft in a normal year as well. Coming out of Radford, had great numbers in college, but the Orioles signed him as an undrafted free agent. Now, you know, a 6-foot, 210, left-handed hitting first baseman, 23 years old, really, you know, can only play first base. He might, you know, try to play a little outfield, but he's really a first base DH type. But he's had a great year so far with the Delmarva Shorebirds. 20 games in Delmarva. He had 71 at-bats, he had 4 home runs, 6 doubles, 20 RBIs, hitting .324 with a .461 on base, 1,038 OPS, 17 walks to just 13 strikeouts, a big number there as well for Mundy in his 89 plate appearances, and you know he had been great, and that earned him a promotion to Aberdeen over the weekend. He actually played his first game with the Ironbirds on Tuesday night, homered in his first game with the Ironbirds, a solo shot in Aberdeen in that one, and he is showing that he has a pretty good swing. You know, people might write him off because he's an undrafted free agent, but you can't really look at the undrafted free agents of 2020 that way, because really, you look at all the undrafted free agents that the Orioles signed in 2020, basically all of them are in Delmarva or were in Delmarva and have since been promoted this year. All of them most likely would have been draft picks. Honestly, definitely would have been draft picks in a 40-round draft. And a lot of them would have probably been picked in, you know, what a 20-round draft is going to be here in 2021. But, you know, they still have that undrafted free agent designation, and it puts them a little behind the eight ball. But for J.D. Mundy, you know, he's someone to look out for because of that swing, but also he doesn't have a lot of positional versatility. And these guys that are just kind of first base DH types, it can be tougher for them to move up through the ranks. But I think one good thing is, he was the first undrafted free agent to be promoted, as he got promoted from low A Delmarva to high A Aberdeen this week, which means, you know, keep an eye on him. I think he's a guy who could rise through the system, and we will talk about him a little more tomorrow. But wanted to get to the second guy I mentioned, which was Nick Vespe. And Vespe actually is currently on the 7-day injured list for the Bowie Bay Sox, but we have not seen him pitch in a little bit. But Vespe, a 6'3" left-hander, 25 years old, who has spent this entire season with Double A Bowie, actually his first year in Bowie with the Orioles. And he's been in the Orioles system for a good amount of time now. He was an 18th round draft pick of the Orioles all the way back in 2015, a native of Miami, who went and played at Palm Beach State Community College, and then was drafted at a community college there. And, you know, it was really after, I believe, just one season in community college he was drafted. And, you know, he's been pretty good throughout his minor league career, but, you know, it's been a while for him to kind of climb through the ranks. You know, he spent 2015 and then basically all of 2016 at the Gulf Coast League. You know, he didn't play a full season until 2017. And, you know, he really didn't even play then, because in 2017 he was at short season single A Aberdeen. Then in 2018, he pitched out of the Delmarva bullpen, was amazing, had a 2.09 ERA in 65 innings. Then he stuck in Delmarva in 2019, but they moved him to the rotation. And he was actually part of that fantastic rotation in Delmarva in 2019 that set all of those strikeout records. 16 starts, he had a 3.16 ERA. So with the year off, he skips high A, and the Orioles put him right in Double A Bowie and actually move him back to the bullpen, which was kind of interesting. Now, you look at his minor league career now, 113 appearances, 32 starts. So he's had some starting time, but he's back in the bullpen now, and he's kind of been, you know, in an interesting role. You know, before he went on the injury list, and we haven't heard what that injury is, but hopefully it's, you know, nothing major, and he's back with the Bay Sox pretty soon. But, you know, from what he's done so far, 6 appearances, 10 and a third innings, a 2.61 ERA on the year. He's allowed 3 runs on 5 hits. He has struck out 16 batters and walked just 3. Opponents hitting just .139 against Vespe, again, the 25-year-old left-hander. And the stuff has been really, really good. I mean, the 16 strikeouts to 3 has been great. He's kind of been that kind of fireman reliever for the Bay Sox. And you don't see a lot of those guys in the minor leagues where, you know, they come in high-leverage spots. You know, it's not really a ninth-inning guy, but, you know, the bases are loaded with one out in the 6. You might put Vespe in. Or, you know, maybe you have him start the 8th inning, and, you know, he tries to get you 6 outs to end the game. Or, you know, you have a starter who gets in trouble in the 4th. You hand it over to Vespe to kind of get you through the 4th and the 5th, and then he turned over, you know, to the rest of the bullpen in a close game. He's kind of pitched in a lot of different roles, but he is a guy I'm definitely interested in because I still think there's a potential future for him as a starter. But at 25 years old and, you know, only in Double A, he is definitely a little bit behind the eight ball just because he's a little bit older than some of the higher-ranked prospects at AA. But for Vespi, now that he's in the bullpen and he's working in this interesting role and he's got this strikeout stuff, I think as long as he stays healthy and as long as this injury he has now, you know, doesn't affect him too much, we're going to see Vespi definitely in AAA Norfolk at some point in 2020, or in 2021, excuse me. And that should put him, you know, in the range of maybe being added to the 40-man roster next year and maybe looking at potentially making a debut in the major leagues in 2022. But Vespi, definitely someone I'm keeping my eye on. And again, he could still be a starter, but I think he's a guy who's going to work out of the bullpen kind of in that fireman role. It's going to be really interesting because, again, if there's no injury, he's going to be at Norfolk at some point this year. I'm really interested to see what he does there. But again, he's got good stuff, good breaking ball from the left side. Not a lefty like DL Hall is going to overpower you, but still a good fastball for Vespi. And I'm definitely excited to see him. And he's someone who, again, is intriguing as well, who I think is going to continue to move up. And then the final guy that Kevin asked about is Toby Welk, who was kind of, you know, everyone's favorite minor leaguer in 2019. He was an Orioles 21st round pick in 2019 out of Penn State Berks, which is a Division III school. However, he was the Division III baseball player of the year in 2019. So it's not like he was some random guy from Division III. He was a Division I talent playing in Division III baseball. And he was really, really good in 2019. And a lot of people took notice. You know, the Orioles sent him to short season Aberdeen, and in 48 games there, 180 at bats, he hit .344 with a .397 on base. He had 12 doubles, 4 home runs, and everybody took note. And right at the end of the season, he got moved up to Low A Delmarva. He played 9 games there, and you know, he had a solid little time there. Went 8 for 32. He had a double, and you know, drove in a couple of runs, and looked solid at the end of the year in Delmarva. Now, you know, Welk is 24 years old. He's kind of a corner infield type, third base, can play a little first base, can play some other spots if you need him to. But, you know, he did not, like Vespi, kind of make that jump from Delmarva all the way to Bowie. And that's because he's obviously had much less experience in the minor league system than a guy like Vespi had. So he just made the next move up to High A. So he has been with the Aberdeen Ironbirds all this year, and the hitting has continued for Toby Welk. 20 games going into play on Wednesday, 75 at-bats. He's hitting .307 with a .409 on base percentage on the year. He's got 2 doubles. Now, he hasn't hit a home run yet, but he does have 12 RBIs, 12 walks to 19 strikeouts. A pretty good look for Toby Welk. And here's the thing that's kind of interesting me. He is 4 for 5 stealing bases. Now, he was 2 out of 3 stealing bases in 2019, but he is currently, you know, a little bit of an interesting case with, you know, through 20 games having 4 stolen bases, some sneaky speed for Toby Welk. Now, he's always going to be behind it because he was a Division III guy. You know, he's 24 years old and only at High A, so he's, you know, definitely a little older than the guys he's playing against. But, you know, although I don't know how high Toby Welk rises, if he continues to hit like he does, it's kind of similar to J.D. Mundy. If the bat keeps looking like this, the Orioles are going to have, you know, no other thing to do than to promote him. And if he's hitting over .300 with an on-base percentage over .400 throughout this season at Aberdeen, Toby Welk's going to find himself at Double-A Bowie at some point here in 2021. And, you know, once you get yourself to Bowie, and then if you perform in Bowie, that's when you really get yourself on that prospect monitor. So again, you know, none of these three guys are guys that I think will just fizzle out. You know, I would say Vespi, if you gave me a choice, you know, which of the three has the best chance to make the big leagues with the Orioles at some point, I would say Nick Vespi has the best chance because, you know, he's been around for longer. He's at the highest level of these three guys, and he's having success at that level, and he's shown he can have success at, you know, in multiple roles as a starter, as a, you know, a longer reliever, as kind of a fireman guy. But, you know, they all three have a chance. And the thing with Welk and Mundy, you know, I'd put them maybe a little tick down from Vespi, but if they keep producing like they are, they're going to get promoted. And all of a sudden, you're going to look around, they keep producing, they're at AAA and they're producing, and we're going to start talking about, you know, when they get called up to the big league. So, you know, that's the thing. And it's a longer way to go for those two. And again, I would say Vespi has the best chance, but I wouldn't write off any of these three minor leaguers. But thank you, Kevin, for the mailbag question. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we are going to look ahead to what is coming up on the podcast tomorrow. Really exciting guest. And take a little bit closer look at what the minor leagues have been doing for the Orioles so far this year. That's after the break. So we're back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first got to tell you about Built Bar. And we want to know, what is your favorite Built Bar flavor? Now, there are the 9 delicious flavors. Let me read them off. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. So there's something for everyone. Now, my personal favorite is peanut butter brownie, but yours may be different. Or maybe you haven't picked a favorite flavor yet. If you haven't done so, you can get a mixed box over at BuiltBar.com. They'll send you 2 of each of the 9 flavors, and you can pick which one is your favorite. And really, all of the flavors at Built Bar are delicious, but here's the best part. They're good for you, too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. So you can order today to get maybe the raspberry, maybe the mint brownie, or whatever flavor you like. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now we got baseball season. Of course, it's in full swing. You can track all the baseball action at BetOnline.ag. If you spent the month of May maybe betting against the Orioles, you probably did pretty well for yourself, but you can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, not just baseball, but also the NBA and the NHL. Of course, the playoffs in full swing in both of those leagues right now. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So thanks again to Kevin for his mailbag question. Again, if you want to get some mailbag questions in and have them answered on a future mailbag episode, again, you can end up DMing the podcast at Locked On Orioles, or you can DM me at Connor Newcomb _ on Twitter. You can also tweet at either of those accounts, or you can email us at LockedOnOrioles@gmail.com, and we will get to your questions on a future mailbag episode. But it was good that we talked, you know, about minor leaguers, Mundy, Welk, and Vespy here on this mailbag episode, because coming up tomorrow, we have a really exciting guest coming up on the podcast. Patrick Jones is going to join us. He is the hitting coach for the low A Delmarva Shorebirds in the Orioles system. And, you know, it's a cool conversation because Delmarva has been incredible offensively. They have some of the best team offensive numbers in all of minor league baseball. They lead the low A East League in basically every single offensive category. Of course, the guys like JD Mundy, who we talked about, and then Gunnar Henderson and Jordan Westberg have really led the way for the Shorebirds so far this season. And of course, Mundy and Westberg have both already been promoted to High A Aberdeen, and Gunnar Henderson isn't far behind. He was just named Low A East Player of the Month for the month of May, so he'll probably be in Aberdeen pretty soon too. We're going to talk to Patrick Jones about that, and you know, we get into Delmarva specifically and how good they have been. But when you look around the Orioles system, you know, it has been fantastic through, you know, just about 1 month of play. We had Grayson Rodriguez was named the High A pitcher of the month. Gunnar Henderson, the Low A East Player of the Month. You've had all of these promotions that have been happening over the past couple of weeks as well. Of course, Grayson Rodriguez was promoted to Double A Bowie. He made his first start in Bowie last night. Now you have Rodriguez, Hall, and Rutschman all in Double A. That, of course, is exciting. You know, you have other lower promotions. We talked about Jordan Westberg and JD Mundy, both getting promoted from Delmarva to Aberdeen. You had a guy like Joey Ortiz, you know, fourth round pick from a couple years ago, the shortstop. He goes from Aberdeen to Bowie. He's been having a pretty good time of it. Robert Nystrom is up in Bowie. He hit a home run in Hartford on Tuesday night that left the ballpark in right field. He's got some crazy power, a pick from a couple years ago out of Iowa for the Orioles. We've seen some guys go from Double A to Triple A. Infielder Willie Yan has gone up to AAA. JC Encarnacion has made his way up to AAA for the Orioles. Kyle Bradish, who was absolutely dominating on the hill in Bowie, he, you know, has already made a start in AAA as well. We saw Blaine Knight. If you remember Blaine Knight, you know, the pick out of Arkansas who was really exciting and then had a terrible 2019 in Frederick, he has started pretty good in Aberdeen. He got promoted up to Double A Bowie. So all these promotions are happening. You know, Mike Elias, the Orioles GM, has talked about in his time in Baltimore He really wants players to master the level they are at before they get promoted. And, you know, I think he believes that because that is why, you know, Grayson Rodriguez, who many thought would start at AA, did not. But after, you know, absolutely dominating high A for a month where no one could touch him, he gets the promotion to AA. And that's the thing that's so exciting is, you know, you see a guy like Jordan Westberg, who is a 2020 draft pick, you know, a competitive balance first round pick. And, you know, he's a great player at Mississippi State, great hitting numbers. But, you know, he's going to start at low A because, you know, it's his first professional season. And, you know, you would think for a guy like that, maybe, you know, you would want him for more than a month at low A just to get his feet wet in professional baseball. But Westberg was dominating with Delmarva in that lineup. He's a guy we're going to talk about tomorrow with Patrick Jones. But he was so good, it only took him a month to master low A. And now he is up in Aberdeen. And I think that's just a case of a lot of these guys where, you know, it's been growing incredibly for so many of these minor leaguers, and Mike Elias and his staff feel that they are mastering these levels, you know, through just a month of the season, and they are getting promoted, and that is huge for this system, and guys are going to get closer and closer to the big leagues. I mean, the Orioles, you know, MLB.com named them the fifth best system in baseball. You know, after this season, you know, they're going to update those rankings probably in July, about halfway through the season. You could see the Orioles up there in that top three of systems in baseball. I mean, that's how good some of these teams and some of these players individually have been performing. I mean, Adley's been on fire lately at Bowie. We know the top guys, you know, Hall as well, and Henderson and Rodriguez have been great. But, you know, some of these lesser-known guys have just been dominating too, and that's been, you know, really the key to the whole system. You know, we talk about J.D. Mundy and Toby Welk and Nick Vespi. None of those guys are top 30 guys. How about Cameron Bishop? Not a top 30 guy for the Orioles by any stretch. He starts in AA Bowie on Tuesday night. He strikes out 12 batters over five innings. His previous career high had been seven strikeouts. Five scoreless innings, 12 Ks. He was the talk of the town for the Orioles minor leagues on Tuesday night. I mean, you have these guys who aren't really on people's radars at this point, just popping up and having dominant performances and dominant seasons so far. So with all these promotions and then more guys getting added, you know, we had the promotions from Delmarva and guys going from Delmarva up to Aberdeen. Well, you have to fill guys in at Delmarva. Well, you have some of the younger guys who have been sitting down in Sarasota for a while. T.T. Bowens, an undrafted free agent hitter from last year, got added to Delmarva's roster. Greg Cullen, one of the players the Orioles got from the Braves in the Tommy Malone deal, he gets added to Delmarva's roster. You know, they just continue to add guys, and the depth of this system is just incredible. We're going to, you know, obviously keep our eyes glued to the minor leagues and how good it's going for the O's and the minors, but the depth of this system has just been fantastic for Baltimore. But again, we will get into that depth a lot more tomorrow with Patrick Jones. Before we go, though, I do have to tell you about another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That is the Locked On Today podcast. And today on the Locked On Today podcast, LeBron James wasn't enough for the Los Angeles Lakers. Are they done in the first round of the NBA playoffs? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. So again, tomorrow, Patrick Jones, the hitting coach for the Delmarva Shorebirds, is going to join us. He talks about his first year plus in the Orioles system, how he really got to the Orioles. You know, he was a kind of a private hitting coach running his own, you know, hitting company and media organization somewhat as well. You know, had a blog, had a podcast about hitting, and the Orioles found him and hired him. We'll talk about that story tomorrow. Then we talk about some of the hitters that have been with him in Delmarva and really break down what makes them good. We talk Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Westberg, J.D. Mundy, Anthony Servideo, and others on tomorrow's episode. You will not want to miss that one again with Patrick Jones, the hitting coach of the Delmarva Shorebirds. So we're back with him on the episode tomorrow to round out the week. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.